Please turn with me in your Bibles to the psalm that I read, or the passage in the psalm that I read, Psalm 34, and looking particularly at it from verse 15 to verse 22. Psalm 34, from verse 15 to verse 32. We began our study of this psalm last Sunday, and we looked at the first part of this psalm, and I'm looking this morning at the second part. The theme of this psalm is praise and worship to our God. Look at verses 1 and 2. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Those three verses, the opening three verses of the psalm, set for us the theme of the psalm. This is what David is doing, and this is what David is instructing us to do. You notice he begins with himself, and he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. But then he speaks to God's people. And he says to God's people in verse 3, he says, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And I was making the point last week that David was a man just like us. David had trials and difficulties and problems in life as we do. We actually know when this psalm was written. And it was written at a time when David was probably at his lowest point. He was on the run from Saul. David had been anointed king by Samuel, and David had been told that God has rejected Saul as king, and you are the one whom God has chosen to be king. But Saul would not give up the throne. And Saul and his army chased David through the wilderness of Judea, and David had to live in caves. And eventually, David came to such a low point that he actually had to go to the enemies of God, the Philistines. And he had to pretend insanity. He had to pretend that he was insane, mentally insane, so that they would take pity on him and help him. Can you imagine getting any lower than this? You're the king of a country. You're not just some ordinary shepherd in the country. You're actually the king of the country. God himself has appointed you king. You didn't become king by your own method. You didn't fight your way to the throne. God himself chose you to be king, and God's prophet anointed you to be king, and God's prophet has told you, you are the king. But instead of sitting on the throne and leading the nation and leading the armies of your nation, you find yourself on the run, you find yourself going to your enemies, you find yourself pretending to be insane in order to be helped. Can you imagine being in such a condition? This is the point at which David wrote this psalm. But you notice he doesn't complain, he doesn't murmur, he doesn't say, life is awful, life is terrible. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And I make the point again that I made last week. Friends, we as God's people, we are to be those who praise and worship the Lord. We're not to look at our immediate circumstances and focus in upon our immediate circumstances and think only about what's happening in our immediate circumstances. We as Christians, if you're a Christian here this morning, you're born again by the Holy Spirit of God and you love the Lord Jesus and you trust in him. We as Christians, as I made the point, we live on two levels. We're here on earth. And all the things of this earth are around us, and yes, undoubtedly, they influence us. We can't escape this world. We're not to escape this world. We are in this world, and the things of the world are there. But we are also citizens of heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. And just as we are subject to the things of this world and all the issues of this world, we are also the subject of blessings from God. God has blessed us in Christ. God has blessed us. Now, this is what the Bible says. I'm not making up this. I'm quoting scripture here. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Not some spiritual blessings, not a few spiritual blessings, but with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. And the Bible also says, if God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how will he not alongside him freely give us all things? Once God has given to us his son, his own son, how will he then withhold some blessing? How will he then say, oh yeah, I've given you my son, but I'm now not going to give you these blessings and that. How can he do that? I've made the point before from this pulpit that our God is a generous God. He's a big-hearted God. God is not mean, tight-fisted, niggardly. God does everything wholeheartedly. God does everything with a big heart. When he blesses and blesses and blesses, and huge quantities of blessings pour out from him. It's the only way he can bless. It is impossible for God to bless with a few blessings here and there. He cannot do it. His character is against it. He has to bless in abundance. A few weeks ago, we were looking at that passage where Moses went to the rock and struck the rock when he'd actually been told to speak to the rock. And we saw that the water came abundantly. There was sin. The Israelites were in sin. Moses was in sin. But the water came abundantly because God does everything abundantly. Isaiah says, come to him and he will forgive you abundantly. And so we have to, as Christians, do what David did. Don't just look at your circumstances and all the issues of life. Yes, they are there, but remember, if you're a Christian, you're a child of God, you're a citizen of heaven, and the blessings of God have been poured out upon you abundantly. Now, this morning, we're looking at verses 15 to 22, and I want to point out to you from this passage four blessings. I want us to see why we must bless the Lord at all times. Why his praise shall continually be in our mouths. Why our souls should make its boast in the Lord. Why we should say to one another, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I want to give you reasons. We saw some reasons when we looked at the first part of this psalm. This morning, there are four more reasons from this passage in verses 14 to 22. Why should we always be giving thanks to God and giving praise to him? Well, here's my first reason. It is because Christ watches over his people. Christ watches over his people. Look at verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. The eye of the Lord are toward the righteous. Now, that's a phrase that when you first read it, you think, doesn't sound terribly powerful, you know, toward sort of a vague kind of, just, you know, you're sort of looking at something in a vague way and your eye sweeps over it and then you move on. Well, of course, it doesn't mean that. There are, of course, verses in the Bible which talks about how God constantly has his eyes upon all his people. There's that wonderful verse in 2 Chronicles when God was speaking to King Asa. And Asa had all kinds of problems because the Ethiopians had come with an army of 1 million people. And he had other enemies. And a prophet of God went to King Asa. And the prophet of God said this to Asa, the eyes of the Lord range through the earth, seeking out those whose hearts are devoted to him. What a wonderful promise that is. God's eyes are constantly ranging through the earth, seeking out those whose hearts are devoted to Him. He never takes His eyes off us. He's our Father. He's our God. He's never neglectful of us. He never says, yeah, I've got people here, but I've also got people here, and I've got to look after them, you know. Yes, I know you people in Britain have issues, but you know, the Middle East, there's a war, and in the Amazon, there's a drought. Well, yes, there is a war in the Middle East, and there's a drought in the Amazon, but God is God. We can only focus in on one thing. I can only think of one child at a time. I've got three children. I pray for them. But I can only pray for one at a time. Because that's how we are. I can only talk to one at a time. I pick up my phone and I speak to one child. I can't speak to all of them. But of course, God is God. And God has His eyes of care and love constantly upon all His children. I wonder what issues you're going through in your life today. Can I say to you, you have every reason to bless the Lord, to praise the Lord, to worship the Lord, to magnify the Lord. God's caring eye is upon you. God watches over His people. God is watching over you. God is watching over you. So that's the first reason why you must give thanks to the Lord and bless His name. But then there's a second reason, and it is this, that Christ listens to the cry of His people. Look at the way that David lists this in verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous, and His ears toward their cry. I want to tell you this. There has never been a prayer that God has not heard. You have never, 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 never prayed a prayer that God has not heard. Did you know that? You have never prayed a prayer that God has not looked into with great care. You know how sometimes you hear something, I might walk into church and somebody says something to me. Yes, I've heard it, but it hasn't really registered. It doesn't really have an influence upon my behavior. I don't think about it. I heard that, and you just put it away from your mind and you move on to other things. God isn't like that. Every prayer every one of His children utters, God hears, God takes notice of, it registers with God. We may not see the answer straight away, but that doesn't mean God hasn't heard. We may not see the answer as we want to see it. You know, we may not see things happening as we want. But that doesn't mean God hasn't heard. Remember, God is all-wise. He's the all-wise one. Now, many of you here are parents. And you know that as wise parents, you never give your children everything they ask for. Because our children ask for all kinds of things which aren't actually good for them. I mean, if we gave our children everything that they asked for, all they would live on is sweets and chocolate. And all they would do every day is play with their toys. They would never go to school. They would never come to church. They would never do any of the things that are actually good for them. They would just have a really good time, as they see it, and develop into imbalanced, unhealthy children. So we as parents, we are wise, and our children are always saying, can I have this, can I have that? And we look and we say, well, actually, that isn't good for you. We're not denying them blessings. We're actually doing good to them. And there are times when a child asks for something, and the father says, yes, you will have it, but this is not the appropriate time for you. Do you know, when one of my children was 14, they asked me for a sports car. Not a toy sports car, a sports car. We were on a visit to Britain, and we were driving somewhere, and this sports car overtook me. I have no interest in cars at all. Cars are just a seat and a steering wheel. But my son looked at this, Dad, do you think I could have one of those? Now, what would you think of me if I went into, and he was 14, and I bought him a brand new sports car? I said, right, here are the keys, off you go. You don't do that. Maybe at a later stage, I might buy, I wouldn't ever buy a sports car, but I might buy a car for my son if he's older and wiser and so on. So just because we don't see answers to prayer straight away doesn't mean God hasn't heard. I promise you this. All of our prayers come to God. He hears. He has heard your prayers. Give thanks to God because He listens to the cry of His people. A third reason why we are to give thanks to God is that He delivers His people from all their troubles. He delivers His people from their troubles. Look at what He says in this psalm, particularly verse 17. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears. So there it is again, God hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. We looked at verse 6 last week. And I love verse 6. It's such a lovely verse. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Because God doesn't just watch over His people. And God doesn't just hear the cry of His people. But God actually works. And His people know relief from their trials. Our lives are like that. You go through your life, and there are seasons when there are trials, and you go through those trials. But praise God, those seasons don't go on and on and on. Aren't there seasons in our life when things go well, and God is good, and we know the blessings of God? And isn't there a day coming when we will indeed be delivered from all the trials that this sinful world brings? And we will be in that land of bliss when we will know deliverance from all of that. God is actively at work in this world. God is actively at work on behalf of His people. I often think of the people of Israel who were slaves in Egypt. And their condition was a terrible condition. They were enslaved. They were being exterminated. There was this plan by the Egyptians to actually destroy the Israelites and to remove them from the face of the earth. And they cried out to God. Do you know, it was quite a few years before they actually left the land of Egypt and went across the Red Sea towards the Promised Land. They cried out to God. And God began to work, and Moses was born. And when Moses was 40, he went into the wilderness of Midian, and he stayed in the wilderness of Midian another 40 years. So the people of God, you see, have been crying out for relief for many, many years. That doesn't mean God has ignored their cry. That doesn't mean God takes no account of them. That doesn't mean God considers them of no importance at all. God has heard them. And God has put into action a plan to save them. That plan of saving them has begun. Moses is being prepared by God to be the leader of His people. And finally, at the age of 80, Moses takes the Israelites out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, and into the wilderness towards the Promised Land. God delivers. If you're a Christian here this morning, continue to trust in Him and pray. Continue to seek Him and ask Him for peace. Even in the worst of your trials, ask Him for peace. But I want to say this especially to you if you're not Christian here this morning. If you're not born again, you've never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've never asked the Lord Jesus to save you from your sin. Well, these verses have a promise for you. Verse 17, He delivers them out of all their troubles. Verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Now, if you're not a Christian here this morning, you have troubles. You may not think it, but you have troubles because you are still in your sin. Your sin is upon you. You're in the kingdom of darkness. You're in the kingdom of the devil. And you're actually headed for hell. You have troubles. But if you were to cry out to the Lord, seek the Lord Jesus Christ, Come to Him. Ask Him to save you. Ask Him to deliver you from your troubles. He doesn't say to you, you must work first and then I will reward you with salvation. He doesn't say to you, you must put things right first, you must change your behavior or anything like that. You go to Him and you ask Him to save you. You ask Him to forgive you your sins. Christ forgives sins. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary that we might know the forgiveness of our sins, that we might know the removal of our guilt, that we might have a hope of heaven. That's a real hope. Are you a Christian here this morning? If you've never been born again, when I talk about being born again, you listen to that and you say, I don't know what he's talking about. When I talk about knowing the Lord Jesus as Savior and Lord, you say, well, I don't know what this is about. Why not ask the Lord Jesus to save you? Why not simply pray and say, Lord, will you save me from my sin? Will you make me a child of God? Will you give me that hope of heaven? Will you deliver me from sin, darkness, and the devil? God in Christ saves his people. So the three reasons so far that we've seen: Christ watches over his people, Christ listens to the cries of his people, Christ delivers his people from their troubles. The fourth reason why we must always give thanks to God: Christ is compassionate towards his people. Do you know, I honestly think that the verse that we have here, verse 18, is one of the finest verses in the Bible. I don't know if I'd ever really seen this verse until I started studying this psalm. And it's like this verse suddenly stood up and spoke to me. And I hope it speaks to you. It's been a source of great blessing to me the last few weeks. Just look at what it says. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. I think David was thinking of himself here. As I've explained, he was at his lowest when he wrote this psalm. The king who has to flee to his enemies and pretend to be mad in order to find deliverance from his troubles. This is his situation. He's at his lowest. He's brokenhearted. He's crushed. And you notice it's a testimony. David is saying, my friends, this is what I found to be true. I was on the run from Saul. I was in the wilderness of Judea. I was in the caves of En-Gedi. And then I had to go to the Philistines and pretend to be mad. I was in all these difficult trials. And when I look back over all that period of trials, I testify to this, he says. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. There's a prophecy about the Lord Jesus Christ in Isaiah that I find very precious. I know many of you find this prophecy very, very precious. This is what Isaiah says about the Lord Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. This is Jesus speaking. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open the doors of prison to those who are bound. Jesus quoted those verses in a synagogue where he was preaching, and he says, this is about me. God has sent our Lord Jesus Christ into the world specifically to bind up the brokenhearted, to be near to those who are brokenhearted and crushed, because God has a special place in his heart for those who are brokenhearted. You have two or three children, perhaps, and one of your children is ill. The others are well and healthy, but this one particular child is weak and is particularly ill. Now, you love all your children, and you care for all your children. But aren't you particularly tender and particularly mindful and particularly caring and compassionate toward that child that is going through illness? Isn't that always the case? You pay particular attention to this child because he or she is going through an illness. Isn't that what we do? Now, God is our Father. And if we as parents do this, how much more our Father in heaven. You know, we mustn't think to ourselves that God will only look at those who are strong in the faith and do mighty works in His kingdom and win millions for the Lord and do great preaching and great ministry. They are the ones who are great in the sight of the Lord and the others are all there. No, that's not how God thinks. When the eyes of the Lord range through the earth, seeking out those whose hearts are devoted to Him, He looks particularly at the brokenhearted, at the crushed. His heart goes out to them. And He comes to their aid and to their support. We have a great God. We have a great Savior. And we have great blessings from our God. He watches over His people. He listens to their cry. He delivers them and is particularly compassionate to the weak. That's why we must say with David, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.